Donald J. Trump is president of the United States.
Trigger warning. This broadcast contains subject matter that might trigger liberal snowflakes. It's the War Room with Owen Schroyer.
Well, if the March for Our Lives that took place across the United States yesterday, including here in Austin, proved anything, it is the double standard and the hypocrisy of the modern day American left. A Hollywood that calls for gun control, that uses guns and violence to promote films. Actors and actresses that call for gun control, that protect themselves with armed security. Even having a man who has gun violence or a gun arrest in his past spoke at a March for Our Life event. Here's Alex Jones breaking down the hypocrisy of the March for Our Lives.
I was going to get into all the Hollywood people that are anti-gun, that improperly using firearms in movies, and the fact that, by extension, YouTube banning average citizens displaying firearms, using firearms, they've opened themselves up to total discrimination lawsuits because they let Twitch and Amazon and all these other platforms show guns being used improperly, simulated murders, real murders, you name it, billions of people watching a week.
Virginia Tech.
Tucson.
Aurora.
Fort Hood.
Oak Creek.
Newtown.
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 How many more?
And then they want to ban thousands of pro-gun channels. That's what's being banned. And it's a monopoly action by Hollywood and the dirtbags. And it's against the gun culture.
My name's Hank Strange, and I wanted to make a video because YouTube has recently, matter of fact, last night or early this morning, clarified their rules on firearms in videos. We're in a highly regulated field already, and what we do is legal. We wouldn't do something illegal. We don't do illegal things anyway, but we definitely wouldn't do something illegal and then post it as a video. But YouTube is just basically making up their own rules specifically for gun guys. So obviously they have a problem with us. You know, we didn't hurt anyone, and yet we find ourselves in a position where YouTube is definitely setting us up so that they can start deleting channels or making strikes. And for sure, they're removing our ability to speak freely about something that is absolutely legal and, as a matter of fact, guaranteed by the Second Amendment here in America.
The new sports stars, like Ready Player One, are going to be virtual reality players with billions of people watching world championships of different types of video games. That is just mind-blowing.
There'll be probably at any given time 40 to 50 players actually playing, but the featured match will be on the big screen for everybody to watch, and that'll have commentators calling play-by-play in the match, and then that'll be streamed on Twitch. We'll probably have around 10 to 20,000 viewers online of this tomorrow.
Now, this is not an attack on the First Amendment that's happening. This is an attack on the Second Amendment, and it's an attack on every other amendment. But when I say it's not an attack on the First Amendment, that's already under total attack. This attack on the First is to get the Second, because if they can shut down our free speech on YouTube, Facebook, everywhere, and kill the gun culture, they think they're going to win. But it really is an attack on them all. And we've got the Hong Kong Stock Exchange down 1.90 points. It's all going to happen. It's a war. It's what it's about. We'll see who blinks first. But here we are, the American people, InfoWars, Trump, you, everybody, together right at that magic point when their world government was launching and we were supposed to fall to take it all away from them. Almost like it was planned. That's right, my friends. You will be defeated, globalists.
Thank you.
You want to take the firearms? Simple. Come and take it. Come and take it. You know, it's interesting. These liberals calling for gun control don't understand how they're inciting a civil war, and they're going to be on the side that's unarmed. Good luck with that. Welcome to the War Room. I'm your host, Owen Schroyer. I'm going to be joined by Brandon Gillespie in the first hour, a student from Sacramento that wanted to do an anti-abortion walkout. We're going to find out what happened with that idea, you know, because you're allowed to have an anti-gun walkout, right? In fact, you could probably even have a pro-abortion. They'll call it pro-choice. You can have that walkout. But lo and behold, if a high schooler wants to have a walkout to protest abortion, well, doesn't go so smoothly. The liberal teachers and administration don't like that. So we'll be catching up with him. We'll be catching up with Roger Stone as well. As you can see, I've got some news on the desk here that we'll get to. But before I get to anything else, I just want to play this clip because, well, two videos actually. First, a clip of David Hogg embarrassing himself, as usual, unfortunately for him. It's like, that's what I'm saying. He goes out and he does a speech and then he gives like a Hitler salute and he doesn't even understand, like, dude, man, you are really like looking bad now. And now, so the real Nazi comparisons are really easy to make to them now, where they do their marches, they do their anti-gun marches, they wear the armbands. They're now wearing the armbands. It's like, do they even understand visuals? Do they even understand history? And of course, the answer is no. So I'm going to get to that in a second, but we'll have updates on the 60 Minutes interview last night with the porn star that got more views than ever. What does that tell you about culture these days? All the updates on that. Diplomats, Russian diplomats ousted from the U.S. and Europe because of the poisoning of the Russian spy, which actually looks like it. If anyone did it, it was Britain and their service or intelligence agencies or what have you. Other hypocrisies from the March for Our Lives, other crazy liberal news. I'll rant against the ACLU at some point in time. They're emailing me again. They just never stop. More negative side effects of the open borders. New York City sees its largest increase in tuberculosis cases in 26 years. Hollywood is destroying itself. Worst March in recent memory for Hollywood. So all kinds of other news that we'll get to, but let me play this video. This is David Hogg. I don't even know when this was from, but David Hogg now says that he's using his white privilege to stand up for black people. Listen to this self-righteous liberal, man, born in the wool, self-righteous, arrogant liberal that thinks he speaks for black people.
I think one of the greatest obstacles that we face, though, with this movement is the fact that there is a lot of racial disparity in the way that this is covered. If this happened in a place of a lower socioeconomic status or a place where, like a black community, no matter how well those people spoke, I don't think the media would cover it the same. And I think it's important that we point that out as Americans and realize that, because we have to use our white privilege now to make sure that all of the voices that have... all of the people that have died as a result of this and haven't been covered the same can now be heard. It's sad, but it's true.
So he wants to use his white privilege to speak for all black people. Again, a self-righteous liberal that somehow believes that they can speak for black people. These liberals are so self-righteous now, they think they speak for all black people. But then he says, you know, if this happened in a black community, nobody would cover it. You know, it's funny, David, because if you actually pay attention to the way the mainstream media like CNN works, you'd find out anytime there's a police shooting of a black man, it gets all the coverage in the world. If there's a police shooting of a white man, it gets next to no coverage. Just like the Parkland school shooting gets all the coverage, most likely because, you know, look, folks, there was a stand down. Okay. There's obviously a stand down. All right. They knew Cruz was nuts. You know, we'll just leave it at that. And the Democrats use this now for their propaganda campaign. But why didn't the mainstream news give any attention to the Maryland shooting? Oh, because a good guy with a gun stopped the shooter before he killed anyone, and it doesn't fit their narrative. So what Hogg doesn't understand is that CNN only covers whatever fits their narrative. It's not about a racial thing. It's about an agenda thing. Right now, the agenda is to take the guns, so they promote the Florida shooting, not the Maryland shooting. If their agenda was to racially divide the country, then they'd promote the police shooting a black man, not the police shooting a white man. That's how CNN works. But here's a message for David Hogg. Black Americans don't want you to speak for them.
Black Lives Matter would have black Americans believe that they should fall in line when it comes to the confiscation of the one thing that stands in the way of tyrannical oppression, the Second Amendment. Rapper Killer Mike and others have spoken up for the great equalizer with a long history of protecting black communities now threatened by an unrelenting liberal agenda.
We are raising a generation of kids where everyone gets a trophy. But in real life, everyone don't get a trophy.
No.
You know, in real life, the cops don't come on time. You know, in real life, depending on where you live, you're not going to have the
time. Yeah, and these are the cops that they march against. So they march against the cops. They march against Trump and call him Hitler. Then they want the government run by Trump, Hitler, and the cops to have all the guns. It doesn't make sense. These people are mentally deranged.
Keep us from defending ourselves against the Klansmen who were murdering white and black Republicans to control the ballot box. So I think history is ripe with examples of there's a correlation, direct correlation between gun control and black people control.
From what was said today, it seems
just like what I said yesterday. If you don't think the Democrats would gladly have people die for their political agenda, just look at the history. They killed people. They were of the KKK to stop them from voting.
Control is about controlling people.
The right to bear arms is because that's the last form of defense against tyranny. Not to hunt, but hunt. It's to protect yourself from the police.
And do you see any link between that and these sorts of incidents?
No. Nah, not really. You know what I'm saying? If somebody wants to kill people, you know, they don't need a gun to do it.
Makes it easier though, doesn't it?
Not really. You can use you can strap explosives on your body. They do that all the time.
Let me tell you, knife, use a bat.
Frederick Douglass said about the right of self-defense. When government fails to protect the just right of any individual man, that man rests on his original right of self-defense, even if it means shooting down his pursuers. Slaves plus guns equaled freedom. The abolition of slavery was inevitably due to the arming of blacks. Now, if you think for 1 minute that I'm going to cede these rights back to the federal government or any court, you better think again.
And why should these folks be concerned? The recently signed omnibus snuck Senator John Cornyn's Fix NICS Act gun control legislation right by the American people. Gun Owners of America writes, the bill now contains Take the Guns First language to send millions of additional names to the FBI background check system. These will include many veterans and older seniors, plus those with outstanding traffic tickets and medical marijuana cards. But then there's more. The GOP's school safety proposal, also buried in the more than 2,200-page bill, prohibits money from being used for guns and gun training, so none of the omnibus funds can be used to arm teachers or school resource officers, as had been proposed to the American people.
Not someone who's overstayed a visa, not someone who crossed a border without permission, but an American citizen, what process is currently afforded an American citizen before they go on that list?
I'm sorry, there's not a process afforded the citizen prior to getting on the list. There is a process should someone feel they are unduly placed on the
yes,
list.
Yes, there is.
All right, and so there I you go. Process, the full like, John Vaughn report is on the Alex Jones channel on YouTube. But did you hear that, David Hogg? You want to use your white privilege to help black people. Make sure that they continue to have the right to bear arms, just like they had to set themselves free. Welcome back to the War Room. Owen Schroyer here with you, and I'm going to be joined in the next segment by Brandon Gillespie, a high school student in California who wanted to have a walkout to protest abortion. And of course, they're able to have these walkouts nationwide at schools to protest guns because they care about the children, see? You see, there was a school shooting in Florida that left 15 students dead, and we really care about the children. See, I'm a good liberal, and I really care about the children, so we're going to have a walkout of school for the children to save them from gun violence. Even though I, the good liberal, would gladly pull the trigger of a gun to kill that baby, to kill that child before it's even born. You see, I care about the children so much, I'd like them all dead before they're even born. I'm a good liberal, so eliminating a life and calling it abortion is good. That's tolerance, that's loving, that's liberal. But then also protesting guns to protect the children, that's also liberal, even though we're pro-abortion. That makes sense. But that's what you have going on. So we'll discuss that with Brandon Gillespie on the other side. But it's just ridiculous that they say they're marching for the children, marching against guns for the children, but they also march for abortion. I shouldn't have to say anything more. I shouldn't have to talk about this anymore. These people and their ideas and policies shouldn't have any influence at all, just based on the face value of their hypocrisy. But somehow we have to combat this propaganda here every day at InfoWars, and this is what we do. Now, I did a little more research into the omnibus spending bill last night and this morning. And while I already knew I didn't like it. I mean, you look at this thing and you just scratch your head and you're like, what is going on? Not only does Planned Parenthood get hundreds of millions of dollars, folks, we are giving hundreds of millions of dollars to other countries for foreign aid, military aid, securing the border, Vietnam, China, Jordan. I mean, the list goes on and on. Tunisia, I think Indonesia. I can't even remember all the list of it. So you got all of these countries combined getting hundreds of millions of dollars from the U.S., Planned Parenthood getting hundreds of millions of dollars for the U.S., and then everyone says, oh, Trump's going to get the wall. That's why he put the military spending in there. But then there's other subsections of the thing that says he can't spend it on the wall. I don't even care. Like, you know, I'm not a big wall guy. The point is, we spend a $1.3 trillion spending bill. How much of that is going to go back to the U.S. infrastructure, I wonder? Are you going to see a difference on your local roadways? Is any of that going to go towards protecting children in the schools with a competent armed security guard instead of a coward that won't even go into the building when there's a shooter in there? We've got hundreds of millions of dollars to secure other countries' borders. What about our own? We've got governors in California that are now aiding and abetting criminals, warning them that ICE is coming to deport them. She still walks the streets. Libby Schaff, she's still the mayor of Oakland. She's a criminal. She broke the law. You know what? I'm not on the same side of the people that think that this, again, I'm no fan of this bill. I mean, this bill is such an atrocity, this spending bill. But I'm not one that thinks that this kills Trump's chances, or excuse me, Republicans' chances to win in the midterm elections. But beyond that, I don't even care about Republicans anymore. Republicans suck. And this bill just reminded me how much Republicans suck. Mitch McConnell, you suck. Paul Ryan, you suck. And it's sad if you went down a list of all the Republicans that you could probably only name a small handful of them are actually conservatives. Your Rand Pauls, your Jim Jordans. The rest of them, you would classify them as rhinos, Republicans in name only. The Republicans and the Democrats are working in lockstep to destroy Trump's agenda, folks. And if this bill doesn't prove that, I don't know what does. So, yes, did Republicans hurt themselves in the midterms? Yes. Did Democrats hurt themselves in the midterms? Yes. Both parties right now have essentially taken gut blow after gut blow after gut blow to now it's almost getting to death blows. I don't know where people go to vote. In fact, I think you've got the left that hates Trump that will go to the booth just to vote against Trump. But why would a conservative go vote? They're not going to get a wall. They're not going to get a cut to spending. They're not even going to get Trump's agenda. So there's really no reason to even vote Republican at this point. Unless these Republicans, and it's not even going to matter because now the GOP is basically limiting any conservative Republican from getting a chance to get a nomination. So it looks like, at least again, now there's going to be something before the midterms that's going to change this entire conversation, and it's going to be a moot point. But right now, if you are voting Republican, the only reason to go vote Republican at this point is to keep Trump from getting impeached. That's it. Republicans aren't going to go with Trump's agenda. Republicans aren't going to stop spending. Republicans aren't going to, they're still neocons. They still want war. Oh, I also looked more into John Bolton's history. You know, I was neutral on him. He does support Trump when he goes on television news, which is refreshing enough. But you look at the guy's history. I mean, lying about weapons of mass destruction. I mean, when do the people that lied about weapons of mass destruction that led to thousands of United States citizens serving the military going overseas because of the weapons of mass destruction that died, that lost their legs, that lost their arms, that lost their sanity? When do the people that made up weapons of mass destruction get to face justice? So we'll get more into that as well, and perhaps we'll take your calls in the the 5 o'clock hour in the third hour here. But we've got specials right now at InfoWarsStore.com, and these are specials on products that are already popular, like BrainForce Plus. This is one of our top-selling products, one of our most highly rated products from the certified reviews, BrainForce Plus, and it's 50% off right now. So try out BrainForce Plus if you haven't tried it out yet. See what all the rave reviews are about. See why Roger Stone loves it. See why all the InfoWars crew here loves it. And try it for yourself. Look at all of the reviews. 4.8 star review right now. Almost 6,000 reviews on BrainForce Plus, and it's 50% off. So we don't need to sell it at 50% off. We could sell it at the retail price, but we sell it 50% off so that you can try it and that you can share it with a friend, and then we believe that you're going to like the product, and you're going to come back, and you're going to try it again. And we want you to spread the link. We want you to talk to your friends about InfoWars. This is how they silence us, folks. They can censor us off the internet. They can censor us off Twitter. They can censor it off all the digital platforms, but they cannot censor you from sharing the links, from talking about the products. That is how we defeat the globalists. We'll be right back with Brandon Gillespie on the other side. Don't go anywhere.
This is the return
of the Republic.
And this is the War Room with Owen Schroyer at Infowars.com/show.
Throw away your television. Time to make this clean decision. Master waits for it.
Welcome back to the War Room. I'm your host, Owen Schroyer. My guest now is Brandon Gillespie. Brandon is a student at Rocklin High School in California, where they are trying to organize a pro-life rally, a pro-life march, if you will. CBS Sacramento reporting, Brandon Gillespie quoted, "To honor all the lives of aborted babies, pretty much, all the millions of aborted babies every year." So Brandon has been trying to organize that. Of course, this is in the shadow of the nationwide school walkout for gun control for the children, of course. But then when you try to plan a march for the children that get aborted, well, it gets put on the back burner. But Brandon, thank you for joining me today. I think that it was a brilliant idea you had to start this, and you even mention how part of the psychology of this was to show the double standard, how the left and liberals are able to have their marches, but if a conservative wants to have a march or a walkout, all of a sudden there's some scrutiny that comes with it. So talk about the idea of having the pro-life walkout and the response that you've gotten from school.
Yeah, that's correct. So initially this started as when my teacher was placed on administrative leave 2 weeks ago because she had questioned the gun control walkout that happened on Wednesday, the 14th. So that's what inspired me to do this, really, was because she simply asked the question of, would the school allow a group of students, give the same courtesy to a group of students that wanted to protest something such as abortion? And she was automatically placed on administrative leave for saying that. So that really inspired me to do this. And another reason I'm doing this is because I am pro-life and I want to, of course, bring awareness to the issue of abortions and all the cruel things that are happening at Planned Parenthood clinics across the nation. And then finally, I want this to show students nationwide that they can stand up for what they believe in, even if they are in school, that just being in school does not mean that their rights are taken away.
Yeah, and you don't have to be afraid to voice your opinion, even if it seems like your opinion goes against all of the momentum of the school, the administration, mm-hmm. the teachers. It takes courage, it takes guts, it takes bravery for you to do that. You know, it's amazing, though, to think about this. So you have this nationwide walkout for gun control that pretty much happens overnight. They plan this whole thing. Everyone takes place in it. It's like if you don't take place in it, you're like on the outskirts. You're the outcast. And then you talk about, and it's all for the kids too, right? It's always for the kids. But then you talk about having the abortion walkout for life, a pro-life walkout. And no, we have to review that. We have to look at that. You know, we're not sure if we can do that. Where when they want to have their walkout, it's just like, oh yeah, it's a given. We have to do that. Oh, absolutely.
No questions asked. Yeah.
So what did the students at your school think about that, though, overall? Were they politically charged with it? Did they agree with it? Were they just happy to get out of class? Were they wondering why all of a sudden we have to have this walkout? What was kind of the response from your classmates?
About my walkout or about the previous one?
First the previous one, and then the response when your idea came about.
Okay, yeah. So the previous one, obviously there were a group of students that, large majority of my school walked out. I think about 2/3 of the people in my school decided to walk out for that. And I'm sure a large majority of them only walked out because they wanted to get out of class. But then I'm sure a lot of them did it for gun control. And then I'm sure another percentage of them did it to honor the lives of the 17 victims in the Florida shooting. However, when I started talking about doing this, the hashtag life, the walkout for pro-life, the people that have come up to me so far are pretty supportive in saying that they like what I'm doing, and they're pretty supportive because they also want to see if there is a double standard in our schools.
Well, and now you're on the verge of showing the double standard, putting light on the double standard, or getting to organize your march. They're kind of put into a hole here. You've kind of used the psychological battle against them by putting them into a corner. It's really easy to do to liberals, where now they either have to admit they have a double standard, you're not allowed to have your right to free speech, you're not allowed to have your march when they are, or they have to let you have your right to free speech, let you have the march, which you know is going to just send them into a tizzy that you would ever protest abortion. I go to the story from CBS Sacramento where one of the editors at the newspaper was responding to you. She says, abortions aren't really anything that has to do with school or students here, but they have their First Amendment, so they can go protest about that anytime, anywhere. Well, that's the point. Can you really protest it anytime, anywhere? That's what you're asking. Am I allowed to do this at school? You got to have your protest at school during school hours. So is that true? Do we get to have our same rights like you had? So now you've boxed them into a corner, and I wonder what's going to happen. What is it looking like right now?
So on Friday, I had a meeting with my principal at school on Friday morning. And before the meeting, I was quite optimistic about it. I was really hoping that he would allow it. However, after meeting with him, he was not able to give me a direct answer whether or not I could have this walkout. And he told me that he has to go meet with people in the district and talk it over and stuff. However, in the previous walkout, it was like no questions asked, like, yes, you can do it. So, yeah, I'm not quite as optimistic about it, and I really don't think it's going to happen, at least in my school. But in schools across the country, I'm really hoping that it is allowed.
Well, I'll tell you what. This, to me, has the potential of being a national story, and I really love the way that you're approaching this. Now, again, like you said, they have their walkout for gun control. What meetings did they have? Who did they coordinate with? Did they have to call their supervisors to make sure it was okay? No. The liberals said that we were going to do it. The Democrats said they were going to do it. The March for Our Lives, organized by the women marchers, funded by George Soros, they all got behind it. David Hogg raised his fist and said, we're going to do it. So they did it. They didn't check with their superiors. They didn't check with the school board. They didn't ask the parents. They just did it because it's a liberal thing, so it's just guaranteed to be self-righteous. But then here you are. You want to have a walkout for life. You want to protect the sanctity of life before it's born, and you get put to the curb. And it looks like right now, based on the lip service they're giving you, that perhaps they're not going to honor your request to have a march for pro-life.
Yeah, exactly. And when I went in to have the meeting with my principal, I asked for the exact same accommodations that were given to the students who led the previous walkout on Wednesday the 14th. So there really shouldn't, when I went in there really shouldn't have been any questions about it, except since there is a double standard, obviously there are questions and they have to speak it over with, even though I asked for the exact same accommodations as the previous walkout.
Well, Mike, you're on spring break right now, is that correct?
Yeah.
My guess is they think that you're going to let this die down over spring break. You're going to come back to school next week and you're going to forget about it and you're not going to bring it back up. But my guess is that's not going to be the case.
Nope, it's going to be completely opposite.
All right, how can my audience keep up with you? I know that you've got a Twitter account, at BGilly13. We're showing that right now. Is that the best way for people to keep up with your campaign? Do you have a walkout for life?
Yeah, pretty much. That's where I'm doing it. I'm using the hashtag life on Twitter to keep everybody up to date on what is happening. So, yeah.
Okay, and are you currently a junior, Brandon?
Yes, I am.
Well, good for you. I can tell you that we're very proud of you here at InfoWars. You're doing the right thing. It takes a lot of courage to do what you're doing. And the force is strong in you because you understand the Jedi technique of putting the liberals into a corner and then showing their double standard. Before we let you go here, 30 seconds, just final parting words for our audience.
All right, well, I'm just really trying to get everybody to spread the word about the hashtag life movement, and I just really want as many people to do it as possible. It's going to be taking place on April 11th at 10 o'clock in the morning, and we want the walkout to last for 17 minutes. So anybody across the country is allowed to participate. Just go to your school administration if you want to participate and let them know that you want to have this walkout at your school.
So there you go, folks. Brandon Gillespie, a young patriot leading others. Thank you so much, Brandon, for coming on with today. We wish you the best of luck in your campaign. We'll maintain our coverage of that and keep our audience updated. We'll be right back with more of The War Room. Don't go anywhere. Calm before the storm, I guess, if there was a storm, and it was Stormy Daniels, it was last night. And so you get Anderson Cooper on CNN. He interviews a porn star. That totally busts. Nobody cares. But you have to give 60 Minutes some credit, at least from a programming standpoint. 60 Minutes, a news program that's dying. The ratings are collapsing. Nobody trusts it anymore. It's pretty much turned into propaganda half the time. But they were smart enough to realize how they had to save their ratings, and that was to bring on a porn star and promote that interview. Wow. And so let's just pile drive through this stack of news. TV ratings, CBS Stormy sit down has 60 Minutes at decade high, topping 22 million viewers. To me, the story here is this is just where America is culturally, societally, that they'd rather watch some trash, some garbage, some Operation Mockingbird newscaster interview a porn star. And then it's the highest ratings in a decade for 60 Minutes. Well, that's because 60 Minutes sucks now. That's because 60 Minutes is fake news most of the time now, propaganda most of the time now. And so they have to resurrect their ratings with a porn star. And from what I can tell, and I went through everything, there's nothing. I mean, I didn't watch the interview, but if she said anything during the interview, it'd be the biggest story right now on CNN. She said nothing. She has nothing. In fact, it may open up a lawsuit against her. And they tried to get her during the interview to basically, you know, say that Trump Me Too'd her, you know, the whole Me Too movement. She rejected that. She said, no, this is not a Me Too thing. Nope. I was not a victim. Oops, I guess that one failed, Anderson. Now there's questions about her sobriety. This story from the Gateway Pundit. Stormy Daniels' super dilated pupils spark accusations she was high on meds for 60 Minutes interview. I'm not sure if this was the first person to speculate it, Blythe Bernhard from St. Louis, but I'll give a shout out to my girl Blythe. Blythe Bernhard, she works for the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. She was actually the only member of the St. Louis media. There's the picture. She kind of looks like a frog. Maybe she's related to David Frog. Anyway, Blythe Bernhard, I just want to give a shout out to Blythe Bernhard. I don't get along with all of her political ideas, but she was the only member of the St. Louis media that covered my coverage of the Ferguson protest and riots and my protest there as well. She was the only member of the media that gave fair coverage to that. So I just give a shout out to Blythe Bernhard. I don't know if she was the first person to suggest that Stormy Daniels was high on meds. Pupils are certainly dilated, but I don't know. That could be the lights. That could be anything. I don't really care. Would it really shock you, though? I mean, who knows? I mean, you don't think that drugs are rampant in the porn industry? Maybe they're not. I don't know. Oh, but when are we going to get the Bill Clinton 60 Minutes? When is Juanita Broderick going to have her 60 Minutes? Kathleen Willey, she going to get her 60 Minutes? What about Danny Williams? There's one for you. Can Danny Williams, Bill Clinton's forgotten son, abandoned son, will he get his 60 Minutes? Somehow I don't think so. And so then this story is from the Daily Wire, but the story is actually everywhere. Flashback, mainstream media deemed Clinton-Lewinsky affair nothing more than consensual sex. So Bill Clinton does it in the 90s, then gets, I believe he got reelected after that even. And so Bill Clinton, you know, uses the Oval Office as the oral office. He gets caught, you know, with Monica Lewinsky. And, you know, it's all kinds of bimbos that old Billy Boy was hanging out with, flying on the Lolita Express, ditching Secret Service. But then you flash back and you recall the mainstream media came to Bill Clinton's defense. Why do we care about his sexual relations? That doesn't determine how the man governs. Why do we care? It's just consensual sex. It's happening behind closed doors. It's just two adults. Why are you talking about this? This isn't a story. Here's one of the stories that you can find that echo that. This is the adultery wars from the New York Times from 1998. And this is just one story. There's dozens of these. Oh, quit talking about Bill Clinton's affairs. Oh, get off President Clinton's back. Oh, it's consensual adults. Oh, there's no story here. Oh, it doesn't affect the way he's governing. Oh, but then Trump allegedly has an affair with a woman 12 years ago, not even while he's president, 12 years ago. And the woman's also a porn star who's trying to promote some tour she's doing. And the mainstream media eats that up and uses that to boost their ratings. So just like the March for Our Lives gun control march shows the double standard of the liberals who love abortion, want you to kill your baby in the womb, say that's okay, but then say they're marching for our lives for gun control. Just like that exposes the total double standard of liberals in the streets, the way that Stormy Daniels gets all this attention and they try to use that to bring down Trump versus the way they covered the Bill Clinton, Monica Lewinsky scandal. Again, it shows you how hypocritical they really are in their news coverage and their policies. And so the Hill asks, do voters care about Trump's sexual history? Ask Bill Clinton. Of course, the answer is no, because they still voted Bill Clinton. They still love Bill Clinton. Hillary stayed with Bill Clinton. They still used Bill Clinton to come out to the Democrats' events and give a speech and get the crowd going. Again, double standards, total hypocrites. Now, this was an interesting one to me. I didn't know who Joan Baez was, but they call her the Queen of Folk. She rode around with Bob Dylan, who is obviously a liberal of his own accord. The story goes, she's the queen of the 60s protest song who helped make her lover Bob Dylan famous. Now, as she prepares for her farewell tour, Joan Baez has got a new bone to pick with today's hypersexual and apolitical female pop stars. Now, here's the point that she brings up to me that is worth raising. Look at the way Miley Cyrus behaves during her concerts, during her music videos. I want to be clear. I'm not complaining. I don't care. If Miley Cyrus wants to go, you know, dance around naked on an inflatable banana or whatever she does, fine. That's her right. That's her entertainment. I don't care. It doesn't bother me. But these are the same people that claim to be liberal, and then it's the same group of people that are behind the Me Too stuff. So they use the Miley Cyruses, they use the Britney Spears, they use the Madonnas, who I like all that music, I'm not going to lie. But they use them, they sexualize them, the Beyoncés, the Kim Kardashians, and they use these women, they sexualize these women, they build them up as basically sex goddesses. And then they do the nude photo shoots. They do the pornos with Kim Kardashian. And so they use their sexuality to make money. They use their bodies. They use their sexuality. They use the thousand-year-old psychology and biology of humans, of heterosexuality, to make money. And then they do it in their music videos. Lady Gaga halfway naked. Miley Cyrus naked on a wrecking ball. You know, they have all these innuendos about sex in all their songs. And so they sexualize the industry. They make themselves sex objects. And then they sell sex to make profit. And then if a heterosexual male looks at them the wrong way or suggests that they might want their phone number or want to talk to them or who knows, they brush against them in a crowd of people, oh my gosh, Me Too. So they sexualize themselves, they dance naked, they have pornos, then they stand up and say, hashtag Me Too, we're done being victims of sexual abuse, as they literally use their sexuality to sell albums, to sell music videos, and to make porn videos, and then they point at the heterosexual male and say, you're the problem. I mean, it's absurd. It's absurd how they can get away with that, but they're not going to get away with that. People are waking up. Now, the challenge is upon Trump to get Americans energized again to go out to the polls. Otherwise, the only energy that's going to make it to the polls during the midterms is going to be people that hate Trump. All right, folks, we need your support at InfoWarsStore.com right now because we are under attack as usual. They've kind of let up the censorship for now, but they're going to double back down. But we've got big specials, $50 off Alexa Pure Breeze. That is a must-have for your home, an air filter. The Alexa Pure Breeze, $50 off right now. You've got 50% off BrainForce Plus, 50% off The Real Red Pill. That's how you support us. Are you sick of these people marching in the streets for gun control? Go to InfoWarsStore.com, support us, and we'll be here louder than ever, pro-gun.
The silent majority is no longer silent. It's the War Room with Owen Schroyer. Watch the live stream at InfoWars.com/show.
Welcome back. You're at the right place. Yes, it's Freedom Command Central. I'm your co-host, Roger Stone, broadcasting today from sunny South Florida. In my co-host chair, of course, the ever dapper Owen Schroyer. We're going to go on a tear once again about fake news. Now, you may have seen this weekend how the Daily Beast specifically has decided to reinflate the entire false narrative regarding Guccifer 2.0, who either is or is not a Russian hacker, and to trumpet the fact that Roger Stone admits he was in communications with a said Russian hacker. This is 100% fake news. In fact, this is a reinflation of a storyline that was completely discredited only months ago when The Smoking Gun, another shady left-wing news site, tried to pump up this canard before. So let's go through the stories today, shall we? We have the first one. Exclusive, lone DNC hacker Guccifer 2.0 slipped up and revealed that he is a Russian intelligence officer. Completely fake news. The Daily Beast has nothing new. Everything they say in this article, I discredited long ago here at InfoWars and in a piece I wrote at The Stone Cold Truth, pointing out and proving that Guccifer's not a Russian agent. Then we have the next one. Guccifer 2 is a Russian intelligence officer. Does that mean the Trump team colluded? Very handsome picture of me. Well, no, because the contents, the context, and the timing of my entirely benign communication comes long after the DNC has already published the WikiLeaks has already published the DNC material. Therefore, collusion, in this case, Owen, chronologically impossible. More fake news. Then here's the one that you really have to love the most. Talk about your libtards. A liberal PAC controlled by David Brock wants unreleased footage from Netflix smash hit documentary, Get Me Roger Stone, released to see if they can find evidence of collusion. Now, given the fact that the Emmy Committee for Best Political Documentary is meeting as we speak, this is a publicity bonanza for an extraordinary film, Get Me Roger Stone, a Netflix documentary I very highly recommend. As for those outtakes providing any evidence of Russian collusion, more fake news from the Daily Beast. Now what happens, though, is like when one blackbird jumps off the phone line, then the other jump off. So the New York Post, Yahoo News, and others are picking up this, oh, there's new proof that Guccifer 2.0 is a Russian hacker. No, there isn't. That is still at best unproven. I make a very strong case that the evidence is overwhelmingly that Guccifer 2.0 is more likely an American. He was caught using software registered to an employee at the Democratic National Committee. But whether or not Guccifer is a Russian is somewhat irrelevant when it comes to me. Number one, it is unproven as to whether he or anyone for that matter ever hacked the DNC. And in my case, my communication with him is ex post facto, taking place long after the publication by WikiLeaks of the DNC immaterial. You can see the commentary. It's perfunctory, innocuous, benign. But this is how fake news rolls. Great to be back with you after an absence last week, Owen. We're going to rock right here on the War Room. I'm Roger Stone. I'm here with Owen Schroyer, and you're in the right place. That's right. It's Freedom Command Central, the War Room. So Stormy Daniels seems to be dominating the media today. What do you make of this, Owen?
Well, this is just, first of all, a dying news program that used to be highly respected, highly touted, 60 Minutes, ratings collapsing. It's a ratings booster for them, And I think more than anything, that's how they're going to look at this, at least now at its conclusion. Of course, the build up to this, they're hoping that Stormy Daniels drops some bombshell that's going to bring Trump down, claim some Me Too deal. Of course, none of that ended up happening either. So they kind of ended up with just this ratings bomb that was built on a porn star. So it really just shows you, to me, it has a message about where we are at culturally and societally, that you'll have 22 people tune into 60 Minutes for the first time in decades to hear an account from a porn star about alleged affairs from more than a decade ago. But it also shows, Roger, the desperation right now of the deep state fake news media complex to try to use any angle, any individual whatsoever they can to bring Trump down. And it's really just not working. And it shows how invested they are in their low ball, undermining attempts to bring Trump down, that they're missing their biggest opportunity right now to actually score points against Trump, which was the budget that just passed. Of course, they don't want to make a big deal out of that because the Democrats wanted that budget passed too. They love that budget. So this just shows you how desperate they are, Roger. It shows you where 60 Minutes has really collapsed to, and it shows you where society is at, I think, as well. But at the conclusion, what do they have? Nothing. And the only person that might be in trouble after this interview is Stormy Daniels and her attorney. So this just looks like another instance of a Democrat, liberal, globalist, media, fake news complex cabal attempt to bring Trump down that just blew up in their face.
Well, presumably, these interviews are designed to undermine the president with his evangelical Christian base. You're absolutely right. Those people who I speak to every day are more upset right now about the budget deal than any allegation involving Stormy Daniels of things that happened 15 years ago. If you're an evangelical Christian and you're a Trump supporter, which there are many, many, you have to have a certain cognitive dissonance to begin with. Donald Trump is a twice divorced former playboy from New York City. But we do know that as Christians, we believe in redemption. And it's what you are today. And whether you put your hands in the whether you've put your faith and your soul and your future in the hands of the Lord today, not what you were doing 20 years ago, that's important. Donald Trump is restoring our values. He is restoring our economy. But most conservatives, even most evangelicals, are more upset today about his signing this horrific budget than they are anything to do with Stormy Daniels. I don't think this is going to have any negative impact on his job approval, or do I think it's going to harm him in his base? Even if he did, in fact, have relations with that woman, Stormy Daniels, they appear to me to be consensual relationships among adults. They may or may not have been extramatrimonial. I'm not certain of the alleged timing, but compare that to, say, Bill Clinton, who has a long trail of sexual assaults in his past, non-consensual sex, violence against women, something the mainstream media was more than happy to overlook for decades.
Well, and I think, if anything, the Stormy Daniels interview is only going to help Trump. I mean, people are so sick of that little twerp, Anderson Cooper. They're so sick of the fake news trying to bring Trump down with non-issues that I just see this as another failed attempt that people are going to look at and say, okay, now Trump is more enduring to me because of the attacks that he falls under from the fake news.
Well, Alex Jones really called this several months ago when he said they're going to reinflate the whole line of women who claim they were assaulted. They're going to reinflate any focus on Trump's alleged extracurricular affairs. He was absolutely right. It appears to me that it was a dud during the election. It was a dud immediately after the election. I think it's a dud today with the voters. A surging economy and the prospect of peace, or at least some lessening of tensions with North Korea, I think is far more interesting to voters than any of this collection of garbage.
Yeah, and again, it didn't work the first time. Why they think it's going to work now, it just shows you how delusional they actually are. And Roger, just like, and I wanted to talk to you about the Daily Beast story with the Guccifer thing, and these things have similarities, where just like the Stormy Daniels interview and the whole Stormy Daniels story, if you will, it's a nothing burger. There's nothing there. They have nothing on Trump, nothing that's going to separate Trump from his base, nothing that the evangelicals on Trump's base are going to care about. It's kind of the same thing with the Daily Beast story saying that you had contact with Guccifer and Guccifer is a Russian agent. Well, Roger, I read that story and I finish it and I'm sitting here scratching my head. I'm like, they didn't convince me of anything. They didn't convince me with any empirical evidence that Guccifer is a Russian hacker. They just write a headline and then put a bunch of fluff in an article and expect you to just buy it, or that you'll just read the headline and assume that that's what the story is, even though there's no proof. So it really just shows you. It's like all they have is nothing burgers now. They just keep serving us a sandwich, a ham sandwich with no ham.
Yeah, no, it has a blind, attribution to some FBI agents who say, aha. But the overwhelming evidence is that Guccifer is more likely an American rather than a Russian or a Romanian. The question of whether he or anyone really hacked at the DNC, unproven. Which brings you into the entire CloudStrike thing and so on, CrowdStrike matter and so on. The reinflation in day two, that this is what Mueller is looking for. This is the proof of the collusion. Look at Roger Stone's message to Guccifer, the proven Russian, except for the message itself is too late and the specifics of it are too boring to prove anything. This isn't exactly 007 stuff. The back and forth is benign, innocuous.
It's 00 nothing. It's 00000.
It's a steaming load of bullshit, the whole thing. And it is part and parcel of that school of political narrative building on a tissue of lies. The Daily Beast should be ashamed of themselves. But then let's remember, this is the same news organization that only days ago had a piece that says the president is on the verge. He's this close to a psychological breakdown. The doctors, of course, in question have never examined him, but they're certain that that's his current physical and mental state. This is pathetic. This is the epitome of fake news. The people who work at the Daily Beast should really be ashamed of themselves. Their partisanship, their chicanery, and their dishonesty is so extraordinarily apparent.
Well, let's be perfectly honest. If there's anyone here that's on the verge of a psychological breakdown, it's those in the liberal media that have been trying to bring Trump down for more than a year that haven't seen even an inch of success. They are the ones having the psychological breakdown. They're beating their head against a wall every day to try to take Trump down, and the wall isn't taking any damage, just their head.
No, I couldn't agree more. I want to note right now, BrainForce Plus, my number one favorite product at the InfoWars store, at a stunning 50% discount. This show, trust me, would not be possible without this extraordinary product. Gives you mental clarity and mental energy for long, long hours of work, but it doesn't jack you up, so you have no problem sleeping in the evening. It's not like the energy drinks. This stuff is terrific, and you help us by going to the InfoWars store right now and ordering on this special sale. You'll find a number of other great products. We're going to talk about some of those later. Welcome back to the War Room. Welcome back. You're at the War Room. This is Roger Stone broadcasting you today from sunny South Florida and hooked up by magic to my colleagues there in Austin. I must say, I followed, Owen, the story of the Austin bomber very, very carefully. Tell us your conclusion since you got to see it up close.
Well, I'll tell you that today it does feel like it is concluded, where last week after the bomber had detonated the explosive device in the car as SWAT was approaching, I was still kind of on edge. I was still kind of worried. I was still kind of concerned that there might be an accomplice or something else behind this, or another bomber out there. There was some confusion, according to the stories from the other bombings and then the explosion at the Goodwill. But today, I think that the people of Austin, our spirits, are kind of more at ease now, more at rest, and it does feel like it is concluded. You know, the strange thing is, you know, you hate to talk like this, but it used to be in an event like this, there would be some sort of a motive, but it seems like the only thing behind this was just some sort of mental stress, you know, mental degeneration, maybe an individual that just felt like he never got enough attention. But you just wonder, again, what does this reflect about our society? What does this reflect about our culture that an individual with no real motive or reason to want to kill people or kill any individual just wants to build an explosive and have it detonate and blow up on someone's face? So it's really sad that there are individuals like that out there. But I think that looking back on it, where we were at now compared to last week, obviously a lot more settled, a lot less concerned that a package may be a bomb. But you have to be concerned about society, Roger. You have to wonder how an individual ends up like that, why an individual want to hurt and harm, maim, and kill people for seemingly no good reason and then end up taking his own life. And you just pray that there's no one else out there that would be like that, that there's going to be no more situations where an individual will be driven to that sort of behavior for whatever reason. So whether it be the way that he was treated in school or if he was on drugs or, you know, video games or whatever it was that led to that, you just hope that you just don't get that scenario again. And, you know, for young people out there that go to school, if you see a kid that gets bullied, if you see a kid that seems awkward, doesn't get enough attention, you know, maybe go have lunch with them. You know, maybe invite them to hang out over the weekend. Because, you know, who knows, maybe you're stopping someone from having that mental degeneration that could lead them to, say, be the next Cruz or the next Condit. And it sucks to have to talk like that, Roger. It really hurts me that we have citizens and people that have to deal with this in real life. But it does feel like it's concluded, so that's nice. I don't think I'm going to be going out and covering any bombings anytime soon, hopefully. And so it is nice that it is finally concluded.
Do you reject a theme through the New York Times reporting that the bomber may have had a racial motive?
Well, that was pretty much discounted, I think, after the second explosion. Of course, the first one was of a black man. And so, of course, the left immediately goes to racial violence because that's how they think. They are the racists. So immediately they think anything that happens has to be based on racism. But it turned out after the second explosion, and then, of course, the third, the FedEx, the one on the street, that this, there was no rhyme, there was no reason. It was an individual that just wanted to do harm. There was no racially charged reason for these explosions. But it doesn't surprise me that that's where the New York Times goes. They probably wanted to paint it as a white supremacist, you know, black racism. That's what the New York Times does, Roger. You know, they race bait. They try to cater to the biggest racists in this country to get them to pick up their fake news publication. So it's no surprise there, just more fake news from the New York Times.
It appears that way. It appears that some of that in the early reporting tended to be discredited as the story evolved. Well, look, we thank God that the bomber, at least this bomber, has been terminated, so to speak, and will no longer harm anyone. But it was a fascinating story to watch from the other side of the country. The other thing that's kind of interesting to watch is the way the mainstream media and the Democrats have freaked out over the appointment of John Bolton as the president's national security advisor. I'm liking this appointment more and more simply because of those who don't like it. I do know that John Bolton will be at the president's elbow as he dismantles the phony Iran nuclear deal. And I think this was, at the end of the day, the greatest single rub with both McMaster, who opposed dismantling that lousy deal, and Secretary of State Rex Tillerson, who also opposed it. John Bolton and Mike Pompeo, the new Secretary of State, both strongly support the president's instincts that the Iranian deal should be dismantled. So for those who are Americanists, those who believe in peace through strength rather than the neocon-based strategy of going around the world looking for places to get into trouble, I think you're going to find that John Bolton, despite his service for the Bushes, where he was really not an architect so much as an operative, is a solid member of the nationalist group within our government, within the Trump administration. I think that he believes in, like Eisenhower, like Reagan, peace through strength over rather than foreign adventurism. And this is going to turn out to be one of the most solid appointments the president has made. The fact that Chuck Schumer is going out of his mind, well, that warms the cockles of my heart.
Well, Chuck Schumer's never been in his right mind, at least for years that I've noticed. But I do want to ask you about this, Roger, because my theory, and I want to hear your response to this, my theory is that the reason, at least the tipping point for bringing John Bolton on, was he's willing to go on television and stand up for President Trump, stand up for his agenda, stand up to all the fake news against President Trump. And I think that Trump saw that, and that was such an opposition to what McMaster's was, who, if you ever saw him speaking publicly, I mean, I hardly ever saw him speaking publicly. We heard rumors, obviously. But he wasn't really a staunch defender of the president. He didn't really take up a bully pulpit for the president, where I think that Bolton is more willing to take that role. But it sounds to me like you're thinking there was a little bit more of a foreign policy strategy behind that appointment.
Well, I don't think there's any question. Look, the one person that McMaster didn't seem to have any trouble going out and defending was Susan Rice, rather than the president of the United States. When Charlottesville went down, Rex Tillerson felt it necessary to hold a press conference to distance himself from the president on the president's comments on Charlottesville. Charlottesville, a foreign policy issue? Not that I can see. If Tillerson didn't like the president's position, the correct thing to do based on protocol would be to just keep his mouth shut. He serves at the pleasure of the president. So I think the president is arranging his forces now, and he's finding men and women who support his mission, who support his worldview. In some cases, it's about time. I feel much better about Pompeo and Bolton than I felt about Tillerson and McMaster.
So there you go. And you wonder if there might be some more White House shakeups coming, Roger, because Trump seems to be trying to rebuild, restaff to get the most momentum behind the agenda to make America great again.
And I should add, I prefer Kudlow to Gary Cohn. President's moving in the right direction.
Making talk radio great again. It's The War Room with Owen Schroyer at Infowars.com/show.
We're going to make America great again, people. Donald Trump's going to bring jobs, and then you're going to have work to do. It's going to be great. Now I'm being shoved and being assaulted here.
Welcome back. You're on The War Room with your co-hosts, Roger Stone and Owen Schroyer. We didn't really spend enough time on this earlier. If you like our expanded programming here at The War Room, if you're enjoying the real news with David Knight in the mornings, and of course the iconic Alex Jones show every day at midday, well then please go to the Infowars.com site now and help us with our expansion. It's no secret to the Infowars audience that we are facing multiple fake news lawsuits, lawsuits that are trumped up nonsense designed to give the tech left a rationale, a reason to take us off of YouTube and to limit our reach on the internet. This is the greatest single fight that we face. So we not only have to pay for the ongoing operations here at Infowars, the planned expansion, and folks, when you see the new state-of-the-art studio in Austin, it will blow your mind. The expanded programming that we are now featuring, we have to bear all of those costs. And the best way you can help us is by going to the Infowars store. Now, whether it is the incredible nutraceutical products there that are health oriented, or whether it is the T-shirt of the month club, or whether it is the books like my book, The Making of the President 2016, there are terrific products there. And as Alex Jones always says, it's a 360 win. You help yourself, but you also help us. Now, the whole reason why the entire philosophy of InfoWars is so fearless when it comes to bringing you the straight scoop, the real news, is because we have no corporate sponsors sitting on the sidelines telling us what we can and cannot cover. We are completely self-contained. That's why we're able to bring you the stone cold truth and to fight the information war. These incredible products, BrainForce at 50% off, the new Super Blue Silver Immune Gargle, which is a terrific addition to the whole fluoride-free Super Blue oral product line, these are at terrific discounts right now. Why? Because we know that if you try them once, you'll reorder, whether it is the red pill or our colloidal silver products. These are the best of the genre. Alex Jones and the scientists he works with cut no corners in terms of using B-quality ingredients or fillers. You will not find purer, better products of an all-natural variety. You can go to CVS, you can go to Walmart, you can go to, yes, Whole Foods. You will not find better products at better prices. I'm a believer using the full range of these products. I'm convinced that Immune Wall finally got me back on my feet after a bout of the flu. And this is designed as a prophylactic program project, a product, but it works terrifically. So please, folks, help us, help yourself. Go to the InfoWars site now. Dig up on these extraordinarily specials we have running now and help us finance the information war. Owen?
Well, you know what, Roger? I think I got some BrainForce right here, actually. Yeah, I do. I'm going to have to take some BrainForce during the break and get re-energized before we get into the third hour here today. You know, it's amazing, Roger. The Russian operative, the Russian collusion operative Donald Trump today expelled 60 Russian diplomats from U.S. soil. Strange. That doesn't seem like the type of activity a Russian operative, somebody colluding with Russia, would do, Roger. What's going on here?
Well, not only that, the president seems to bought into the entire claim that the poisoning of this spy in Britain was done by the Russians. I think that's unproven at a minimum. But beyond that, the Trump administration is selling offensive weapons to the Ukrainians over the objections of the Russians. So much for the idea that Donald Trump is in Vladimir Putin's pocket. Now, I thought it was great to see John Bolton when he was asked his opinion of the president congratulating Putin over his election, as fraudulent as it may have been, over the objections of the president's handlers, who in their briefing memo suggested that he not congratulate Putin. And Bolton's comment was, it was a matter of being polite. Precisely. When somebody has thermonuclear weapons, when someone is an adversary, then it is better to talk than not talk. And it's better to talk than yell. And it is better to talk firmly than to insult. Donald Trump has no illusions about Vladimir Putin. He has no illusions about the corruption of the current Russian system. He has no illusions about the tactics that were used in that election to limit the opponents of Putin. But insulting people you have to negotiate with is not the way to go. That, to me, is the art of the deal.
Well, and then, of course, it just shows the double standard of the media and the Democrats, where Obama congratulated Putin for his presidential victory. Nobody said boo. Obama gets caught on a hot microphone saying, hey, just, you know, just tell Vladimir just to wait a couple months. Once I get reelected, you know, we'll be more open to doing deals. So, I mean, he was doing deals with Russia. I mean, what's the big deal? But, you know, when you actually see Trump and Putin in a room together or see them at a table together or when they meet each other, I mean, you can tell they got chemistry. I mean, those two really do get along. That doesn't scare me. I'm not afraid of Russian collusion. I'm not afraid of Russian influence. I don't see Russia going the way of the communists now. I see them going the other way. And that's why they're trying to demonize Russia all of a sudden. But it just shows you no integrity, no insight, no intellect, no critical thinking of people that come out here and say Trump Russia when everything Trump has done diplomatically is anti-Russia. It really is amazing.
Well, I think that's exactly right. Look, Trump and Putin are both strong men. There's no question about that. But the idea that Obama or Hillary Clinton were harder line on the Russians and that Trump is somehow giving them a break is laughable. We watched them invade their neighbors under Obama, and Obama did nothing. We saw their phony reset. It achieved nothing. And then, as you point out, Obama himself gets caught on a hot mic saying after the election he'll have more flexibility. What did that mean? So the entire Russian collusion canard is falling down around their ankles. There is nothing there. But they continue to beat the drum, like the Daily Beast, for example, trying again and again to reinflate what is a narrative that at this point is flat as a pancake. Meanwhile, why don't we hear more about the Owen brothers? Why don't we hear more about their interference in our political system? There it is, the phoniest article you can ever see. A total epitome of fake news. Handsome guy, though, I will say that.
Hey, at least they got a nice picture there for the cover, though. You know, they got a good-looking guy at least to be on the cover there. No, I just couldn't even believe it. I'm reading this story, and I conclude it. I'm just like, who are they? Who did they just convince? They didn't convince anything. They didn't provide empirical evidence. They provide a bunch of hearsay, a bunch of theoretical gibberish, and then they just expect you to believe it.
And then they completely distort what's actually in my communications to make it somehow collusion or treasonous, when in fact it's benign, banal, and boring.
But that's the trick.
Fake news operates.
See, that's the trick, Roger. They assume that their audience is so ignorant that they can print anything and they'll believe it. That's why they hate InfoWars, because we show you the Obama hot mic. We show you Obama congratulating Putin. They don't show you that. That's why they're able to lie to you and assume you're ignorant.
Welcome back. I'm Roger Stone, and you're here at the War Room. We have some extraordinarily good news for the dog lovers out there among you Info Warriors. As you know, Owen Schroyer and I have been really out front asking the President of the United States and the Secretary of Veterans Affairs to end the horrific, barbaric medical experimentation by the Veterans Administration on defenseless dogs. In some cases, medical experiments were being performed on puppies as young as 9 weeks. This was wholly unacceptable. And the good news is that in the recently passed massive spending bill signed by President Donald Trump, the Department of Veterans Affairs will, under new rules, be prevented from conducting medical experiments on dogs. The measure would essentially prohibit the use of dogs in VA research unless the objectives of a study can be met only by using them. And even in that instance, the study must be directly approved by the VA secretary himself, and it also requires the VA secretary to report to the Congress detailing any studies that are using dogs and why there are no alternatives. This is a terrific victory. It tucked well within the omnibus spending bill signed by President Donald Trump. Here to talk to us about it is Iraq veteran Chris Nyeweim, who is an advocate for veterans issues and who worked with us in the White Coast Waste Project that has done a phenomenal job of bringing this animal abuse and the waste of $15 billion a year on animal testing to the American people. Chris, welcome to the War Room.
Thank you for having me, Roger.
So tell us how this victory came to be and what it all means.
Well, this has been a real fight, Roger, and we really appreciate your support. We appreciate the support of President Trump. I mean, the bottom line is, you know, under the Obama administration, there's been a bastion of shadowy bureaucratic figures at the VA. No one knows what the hell they do. We just know they make a lot of money, and they're back there kind of, you know, working their own agenda. And one of these programs was the wasteful animal testing. It was problematic, and after doing some research, we realized there was no benefit coming to the veterans as a result of this research, and it was very alarming. There were many issues, many red flags, and a lot of leaders in senior positions at the VA that, frankly, have not been helping the president achieve his agenda. They've been doing their own thing, and we're defending this program. And finally, we just we just turned this thing around thanks to your leadership, the leadership of the president, and this has been a major victory.
Well, I congratulate your colleagues at the White Coast Waste Project and so many others who went to work on this extraordinarily important endeavor. Tell us about the president's overall spending bill that he signed and the impact on veterans and how you see that.
Well, I think the president, one achievement he's had, Roger, is he's got accountability legislation through to allow it, allow the secretary to remove employees that are not doing a good job, that under previous rules, it's almost impossible to get rid of these folks. The president was guns blazing on the campaign trail about reforming the VA, and then he got it done in terms of accountability. And now he's turned to providing significant funding for the VA to fund things like prosthetic technology and to empower veterans to in terms of employment and benefits and healthcare. And the healthcare fight's not over. We need to find the right way to allow veterans to go outside of the VA system in the cases where they can't get into the VA in a timely manner at the actual hospitals themselves. We know some hospitals are great, others are really not so good. But one of those achievements was putting an end to this painful animal testing. And now at this point, we've got to hold the VA accountable to shut down those 12 or so projects that are ongoing and repurpose that research to do good things for our veterans, Roger.
Well, it's a shame that we had to resort to the legislative to get it done, but the double talk coming out of Secretary Shulkin's office was really disturbing, telling us that they would try to do better, but leaving a protocol that allowed these bizarre, really barbaric medical experiments, drilling holes in dogs' heads, collapsing their lungs, inducing heart attacks, giving dogs crystal meth. What could be the purpose of these horrific exploitation of these poor defenseless animals? So this is an enormous step in the right direction. The next move for me was to begin calling for Shulkin to step down. And I would hope that the president would have done him that. But right now, it appears that this has at least for the short term been improved dramatically by the legislative effort that you and your colleagues have spearheaded. So again, I congratulate you. This is something we want to continue to follow. There's just no excuse, in my opinion, for continuing these medical these medical experiments. Chris, I'm going to give you the last word.
Well, I appreciate you having me on, Roger. I appreciate the leadership that you've shown, and the president, frankly, has just done so much and continues to, go guns blazing to help out our vets in every way they can. I would just say White Coat Waste Project did a lot of advising and wanted to get this right, did a lot of research, and also veterans groups like AmVets and others that took a hard look at the actual benefits that vets were getting. And I think that we can see benefits in other areas. There's no reason this testing should be continued. And for bureaucrats at the VA that do not support the president's agenda, frankly, need to get the hell out of there and be terminated. And I think that's the direction the president would like to move in.
All right. Well, the hashtag for this is hashtag dog lives matter. Thank you, Chris, for joining us here at the War Room. Owen, that is that's a terrific result for our efforts here. And I salute the many, many, many info warriors. On numerous occasions, we called on you to contact the secretary's office. We gave you his phone number. We gave you his email address, and you responded. We flooded the Veterans Administration with calls of protest about animal testing, and they heard your voice. So my thanks to the info warriors out there who pitched in to help the pooches.
Well, this is great, Roger. You know, this is a campaign that I think that conservatives need to embrace more of, protecting the animals, protecting the environment. That doesn't mean, you know, going full bore on the EPA or the Bureau of Land Management. No, it just means about conserving the environment, conserving animal lives. And it doesn't shock me that this wasn't a cause that the liberal side of things took up, because they really don't have any real causes. It's all about hearsay. It's all about virtue signaling. It's all about what's trendy. But, you know, it's amazing that these conservatives and that our guest was able to get this slashed, and that they were able to slip that into the bill. It's too bad that you didn't have more stories like that with these spending projects, you know, millions and billions of dollars going to things that you just scratch your head at. It's like, how does that put American first? How does that make America great again? So you wish you had more stories of spending being slashed on some of these projects, but it's a step in the right direction. And I do think now that perhaps members of the Trump administration are starting to hear some of these cries from conservatives about, you know, stopping the killing of elephants, stopping the testing on dogs, etc. And, you know, maybe if some of these liberals would open their eyes and realize that some of these stances and policies that they used to stick up for animals or what have you, they've gone silent on. You know, maybe they could actually find common ground with conservatives on some of these issues. But so far, I've seen silence.
Well, in this case, there's also a net economic savings to the taxpayers. So it's not just saving the lives of innocent animals. It's also saving almost $15 billion in tax money being squandered when there's really no use. It is a great, great success story. And we congratulate all those info warriors who heard the call, who called the VA, who were active on this issue, and who took the link and sent it around the world. God bless you. You have saved some dog lives today. Owen, I'm going to let you wrap this up.
Well, it looks like this one's for the dogs, Roger. I think that this one goes to the dogs. Well, it's amazing, Roger. You know, they continue to spout off their fake news about you. I loved your opening segment, Roger Stone Rips Fake News. So I'm sure, though, that they're going to continue to give you fake news to rip. So we'll look forward to that in the future.
Many thanks. I'll be back.
All right. There goes Roger Stone for today. He'll be back with us tomorrow, as usual, in the second hour. Now, when we come back on the other side, I'm going to play a shocking Barack Obama quote. You can really see the arrogance of that guy. And then also, you've got a certain senator from the state of Missouri trying to save her little hide. They're starting to feel the heat now, folks, I think. Some of these Democrats are actually getting scared that they're about to lose their seat. We'll have those clips on the other side. Don't go anywhere. You know who really turned out to be an arrogant snob? Hussein Obama. Now, listen to this clip of Barack Hussein Obama in his own hubris, thinking that he is the greatest thing to ever walk upright. He is the greatest gift to man ever, even though he's hated and scorned by the majority of this country. Listen to Barack Hussein say he wishes there were a million of him.
Courage. And so we set up young leaders.
Just look at the arrogance as he sits in the chair. I'm the man, bro.
Would bring these young leaders
I'm so cool.
So that they could learn from each other.
Come on, folks, I'm cool.
We could give them the tools to expand the work that they were doing. We could publicize their efforts and promote it. And after I left office, what I realized is that the Obama Foundation could potentially create a platform for young up-and-coming leaders, both in the United States, but all around the world to come together, meet together, create a digital platform where they could exchange information on an ongoing basis about projects that they were working on. And that if I could do that effectively, then, you know, I would create 100 or 1,000 or 1,000,000 young Barack Obamas or Michelle Obamas or, you know,
Yeah, that's what we need.
Group of people who could take that baton.
Yeah, we need more slick tongue liars like you. Look at me, man. I'm sitting back. I'm cool, man. I'm cool. I'm sitting back here. I'm Hussein, baby. I'm President Hussein. What? We're going to have 1,000,000 Husseins out there. And then he brags about his database. Oh, they're going to be working on projects. Oh, and then what are the projects? The March for Our Lives, where they march for gun control, just like the Nazi brown shirts. But the arrogance doesn't stop there. Listen to what former and now fired FBI agent Andrew McCabe did to Robin Gritz.
When I filed my EEO, when I made contact with the EEO, 5 days later, Andy McCabe signed off on an internal investigation, referred to him by the individuals that I signed the EEO against, and he authorized that internal. It's an OPR, but he
just got
fired.
That sounds a lot like what he did to Jeff Sessions. Boy, Andrew McCabe really thought he was bigger than the government. Just, he's going to investigate anyone he wants, that little slimeball.
He knew that I was either filing or going to file an EEO. What happened after that, basically, I went through hell for a year and a half, and Andy made sure that I couldn't get out of the division. I was selected for certain jobs, and he actually slandered me, went into the meeting at headquarters and said really nasty things about
me. Where are the liberals sticking
me
up for Robin Gritz?
Lying, which is why he just got fired.
Whose life was tormented
a year and a half, it got to the point
by
where
Andrew McCabe.
I knew I wasn't going to win.
Sure.
And I ended up resigning after 16 years fighting terror with the FBI.
Well, you can just hear her voice shaking, just what she went through dealing with Andrew McCabe, that dirtbag.
His dismissal and sort of playing the victim.
I talked to a few people.
These people are such slime balls, man.
Fired. I would have to say he is talking in his op-ed how the president doesn't understand the FBI and how much they respect their leaders.
He gets it all right. He released the JFK papers. Y'all are a bunch of liars.
The Russia investigation, everything like that. What I got that night was a good 50 messages from...
So just pull it down. So she's talking about, again, how Andrew McCabe destroyed her career, tormented her life, and she's probably a good FBI agent. She's probably one of the good ones. So, you know, she has to be tortured by Andrew McCabe in her career pursuit. So, yeah, that's nice. Andrew McCabe, you know, just tormenting women in their career at the FBI. And then Barack Obama, the most arrogant president, says, I wish there were 1,000,000 Barack Obamas. Then I could have really destroyed this country. Yeah, if there were 1,000,000 Barack Obamas, America would definitely be a third world country. Absolutely. I agree with that. Hello, I'm your average liberal American. I want to march for gun control. I think that an inanimate object needs to be controlled and is a major threat to my society. I also think that President Trump colluded with the Russians, even though there's no evidence and he just got rid of a bunch of Russian diplomats and is arming Ukraine. But I also think that abortion is a good thing. And so even though I'm in a march for our lives, I want to abort babies. In fact, I just got an email from the ACLU telling me all about it. It's so exciting to know, as a good liberal in America, that there is an organization out there fighting to kill American babies. That there is an organization out there that is putting criminals, lawbreakers, and non-citizens first to try to bring this country to its knees. Thank you, ACLU, from the good liberal. All right, welcome back to the War Room. Owen Schroyer here with you, channeling my inner good liberal there. These people are just nuts, man. And then Obama, oh, I wish that there were a million Barack Obamas. Good. Oh, make me nauseous. And the sad thing is you basically have a million Barack Obamas. See, the most weak-minded individuals out there still think Barack Obama's a hero. They still think Michelle Obama is, like, beyond reproach. They don't even realize that that's a man, man. It's a man, man. Just look at the arrogance of this guy. I can't deal with it. Get him off the screen. Get him off the screen. I'm going to start yelling. I've been very calm today. The crew's laughing. I've been very calm today. I haven't screamed into the microphone yet. So we're going to try to keep it that way. And this is going to be a challenge. This is going to be a challenge because I'm about to read the latest email from the ACLU. Channel the inner Zen before you go to the dark place. So here is the latest from the ACLU. Again, though, the most weak-minded fops actually believe this stuff. Now, let me read. The window to speak out for women's and LGBT people's health is closing fast. As if there is some sort of window that exists on that. As if you're gay in this country, all of a sudden you're not going to be able to get health care. I mean, a completely made-up notion. There are only 3 days left. 3 days. Wait a second. Oh, whoa, 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 whoa. I have to cut myself short here. I just realized something. Guys, crew, we were tracking it. Let's not forget. Who was it? Wasn't it a congressman that said we had 47 days left to live? We had to be coming up on that date. Who remembers that from the crew? Come on, guys. I said put it on the calendar. I'm going to find this. There was either someone in the media or someone in Congress that said we had 47 days left till global warming killed us. I know we've crossed that threshold. We even put it on the calendar. Check the calendar. Find that story. I want to find that story. All right, now let me get back on track here. But this is what they do. See, my point is that they make these fake timetables. They just make these things up to instill fear in their minions. So they say, you've got 47 days left till global warming kills you. Actually, I think it was a professor. Or Al Gore. Well, the ice caps are going to melt. You know, fish are going to swim in the streets. There's going to be rivers in the sky. And you've got 5 days. 5 days, says Al Gore. And then 5 years later, none of it comes true. And what does he do? He puts out another documentary. I mean, like, take the L, dude. Like, take the L and walk off the court. No, he just continues to lie. But let's get back to the ACLU. Guys, let me know if you find that. This is going to eat me alive. I'm going to have to find this. I'm telling you, we had 47 days left to live. If I've got one more day left to live, I'm about to walk out of here. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm gone. I got better stuff to do. Anyway, so the ACLU says there are only 3 days left to stop the Department of Health and Human Services' proposed rule that would put healthcare providers' religious beliefs above patients' health. Let me translate that. If I'm a Christian and I don't believe in abortion and I don't want to pay for your abortion, I have every right not to pay for your abortion. Absolutely. That's not a religious thing. That's a common sense thing. But they spin it and they say, because you don't want the government to steal your money and pay for abortions, that's putting your religious beliefs above a patient's health. How come my religious beliefs have anything to do with anyone's health? The only connection is that you want to steal my money to pay for it. That's the connection, but they don't tell you that. It goes on. HHS is required to read and respond to our comments. Really? So now the ACLU is bigger than the government and they have to respond to the ACLU. Again, that shows you where the power structure has gone totally out of control. So now the government has to respond to the ACLU now, apparently, according to the ACLU. And the agency certainly needs to explain itself. Oh, to the ACLU. Yeah, the ACLU runs things now. See, you have to answer to the ACLU. The department's priority should be healthcare, not religious beliefs. Again, I explained the difference there. Their proposed rule could have terrible repercussions for patients seeking abortions. Again, that's always the first thing, folks. See, I tell you that they love abortion, and then they put it first on their list. They put it first on their list. Again, their proposed rule could have terrible repercussions for patients seeking abortions. They love death. gender conforming surgery. They want you to chop your member off, and HIV prevention and treatment. So even stuff like that, we could be like, okay, maybe we can do something for that. But no. So people that have unprotected sex get HIV. People that want to chop off their dingling and pretend they're women, and people that want to have an abortion, I'm supposed to fund all that. See, I'm supposed to pay for all that according to the ACLU. And just because I'm a Christian, they're going to say that it's my religious beliefs that are keeping me from funding abortion, even though it's a principle of this country that you cannot steal my money to pay for someone's abortion. That is absurd. And that's what they're doing. And it goes on. Religious liberty is not a license to discriminate and harm. Again, you are forcing people to pay for abortions. There is a distinct difference there. Did we find it? Yes. I knew it. It was the governor. All right. Find out the time because we're running out of time here. We got till July. All right. We got till July, folks. We're going to get to that in a second. So again, though, whether it doesn't matter. In fact, okay, let's say I'm an atheist. I'm a nihilist. Okay, I am a nihilist right now. I still don't want to pay for your damn abortion. You get it, ACLU? This proposed rule, if it were adopted, could have serious repercussions. Guess where they go again? For patients seeking treatment, abortions, HIV, and gender surgery, to which some people, like extremist Vice President Mike Pence, might object. Mike Pence is the farthest thing from an extremist that you could find. And then they just call him an extremist because he's a Christian. And again, they say you should pay for the abortions. And here's what they say that the new proposed rule is going to impact. Pregnant women experiencing miscarriages or other serious pregnancy complications could be refused abortion care even when the woman's life is at risk and even when the fetus has no chance of survival. That's just virtue signaling to get you to pay for all the abortions. Health providers could discriminate against transgender patients by seeking medically necessary care. Again, though, we don't have to pay for that. That's not my duty to pay for that. Hospital staff could refuse to sign inpatients seeking abortions to assist patients in any way before getting sterilizations or even provide any information. So they go on this and it's all could be, may, might. No. All we want, all I'm asking for is that you don't make me pay for an abortion. You don't make me pay for transgender surgery. Is it that hard? No, but the ACLU wants you to pay for all of that. Even though it's not my duty, I should have no reason, no cause. If you want to go out there and chop off whatever member or chop off anything or have any sort of weird surgery, that's on you, buddy. That's on you, not on me. Again, this is their fear-mongering, though. Washington governor says just 59 days to save the children from global warming. When did he say that? We're going to get to the bottom of this. We might all be dead right now and not even know it. Come on now, join me, crew. Let's go. Well, ladies and gentlemen, it was Governor Jay Inslee from Washington that said we had 59 days to save the children from global warming. That 59 days expired on March 8th, and we're still here. Woo! Yeah, baby. Sorry, liberals. Your stupid fake dates and threats about global warming killing us all failed again. What a bunch of losers. Al Gore, the polar ice caps will melt by 2010. Governor Jay Inslee, we've got 59 days to save the children from global warming. Sorry, Jay. We're still here. And actually, we're getting record snow, bud. Record snow. Four nor'easters. Good one. Really good one. Okay. Wow. All right. So here's the deal. I've got like three breaking news stories I want to cover. The crew is getting some clips, and then this just got red linked on Drudge. I don't even know what this is. I got to click on this. Paul Ryan ready to resign? This is red linked on Drudge right now. The crew is pulling up the story from the Reno Gazette Journal. Rumor is that Paul Ryan may resign as U.S. House Speaker, Scalise to replace him. Well, this is huge. Oh my gosh, I couldn't get Paul Ryan out of there fast enough. Get this guy on a jet stream to resignation. This guy is such a fop. You know, it's funny because I was, over the weekend, I was thinking about that. I was like, man, Paul Ryan's, he's going to win re-election. He's got too much of a namesake. He's going to claim he's responsible for the tax cuts. But then he's going to be having to deal with major backlash over this omnibus spending bill. And so now the rumors are he's about to resign. So we'll see if that's the case. But, oh, and now there's another story, Drudge Link. Red linked on Drudge, suspicious package found at military installation around D.C. We'll see if anything develops from that. Okay, so we've got developing news stories here right now. as well as a clip of David Frog that I'm not even believing. I mean, I can't even believe what they're reporting that he's saying. So I'm going to see if we can get that clip. And then also I want to play this clip of Claire McCaskill. Do we have that one ready yet, guys? Okay, beautiful. Let's go to that then. So now I'm going to explain this. So, well, let's just play the clip first, and then I'm going to explain it. So here's Claire McCaskill responding to comments from Hillary Clinton.
In Missouri, there is an ad from your opponent, Josh Hawley, that features the words of Hillary Clinton, who, of course, you endorsed in 2016. He says, if you look at the map of the United States, that's all the red in the middle where Trump won. Now, he's quoting Hillary Clinton, who also said, so I won the places that are optimistic, diverse, dynamic, and moving forward. Were these comments from Hillary Clinton helpful to you?
No, probably not. I understand the point she was trying to make, but it felt like she was criticizing Missouri voters. And I would draw a line there. I have great respect for Missouri voters. And there are a lot of reasons they voted for Donald Trump, some of which I completely understand. I mean, frustration is a powerful motivator.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, frustration with you.
And if you've played by rules and worked hard all your life, and you're further behind this year than you were 10 years ago, no wonder.
Yeah, that's Obama. That's the Democrats like you.
And so I get that. It wasn't helpful. I think it was wrong how she put it. I think it certainly is being taken out of context, things that you say are taken out of context. So for those of us that are in states that Trump won, we would really appreciate it.
Yeah, because they never do that to Trump.
Careful and show respect to every American voter. And
no, Hillary Clinton is the one that demands everyone's respect, that arrogant bitch. Excuse me. Let me tell you here that, you know, I'm making the crew run laps back here. Hey, you should see if you can find this clip. I'm sure it's easy to find on YouTube. Claire McCaskill basically coming out and saying men need to shut up. She literally ran a political ad campaign saying men just need to shut up. So for Claire McCaskill, senator from Missouri, who I think the only reason she's making these statements is because she's afraid she's about to lose in re-election. And Josh Hawley is getting he's getting most of the attention right now. I've supported Austin Peterson, who's going to be primarying against Josh Hawley, who's the AG of Missouri right now. That's going to be a tough election. But McCaskill is really scared that she's about to lose her seat, and that's why she's virtue signaling against these Hillary Clinton comments. But, oh, we got the clip. Can we get the audio of this? But listen, this is a Claire McCaskill ad campaign where she essentially says the exact same thing that Hillary Clinton said. Listen to this. So, we don't have the audio of that, but she basically, we got it now? Listen, so this is Claire McCaskill. She just lambasts Hillary Clinton for her comments that are anti-men. But listen to what Claire McCaskill said in a campaign ad.
I'm Senator Claire McCaskill. As one of just 20 women currently serving in the Senate, it's important to me to encourage more women to run for office. But equally important is encouraging more men to sometimes just shut the hell up.
Just shut up, man.
It's not women don't value your thoughts.
Just shut up.
It's just that we don't value all of them. The world doesn't need your opinion on everything. For example, what women do with their bodies.
Oh, I love this.
Who the next James Bond should be. Zip it. Whether or not it's pronounced.
All right, get the bimbo out of here. But there you go. So I'm just telling you, Claire McCaskill is just another fraud, just another total fake. And she comes out here and she makes this statement against Hillary Clinton to virtue signal to Missouri voters because she knows that she's about to lose her seat in the upcoming election. Now, again, I'm supporting Austin Peterson in the race against Josh Hawley. I'm hoping that he's able to pull out the upset there, but he's getting no help from the Republican Party or the GOP. Hawley's already kind of establishment. And then she says, you're running against Hawley. That's Hunt, the reporter for MSNBC. So it's like Peterson doesn't even exist. That's how they do these deals and keep the establishment in power. But Claire McCaskill is totally afraid she's going to lose her seat in the upcoming elections, a Democrat. And so she virtue signals to Missouri voters like, yeah, it was so rude of Hillary Clinton to make those comments about men when the same woman made an ad campaign that was anti-men, saying men should shut up. We don't value all your thoughts. A total fake, Claire McCaskill. But thank you for exposing yourself, Claire McCaskill. I mean, really thank you. Really thank you. Speaking of exposing themselves, let's go to clip four real quick while we have time, guys. The liberals and the Democrats are now admitting not only do they want to take all the guns, they don't want to go half Nazi and just take the guns. They want to go full Nazi and put gun owners in death camps, essentially.
First off, I would like to see the age for purchase of any firearm raised to 21. I think that we should ban the sale of all high-capacity magazines, handguns, and long guns. I think that we need to ban the sale of any mechanism that will allow a firearm to fire in rapid succession. Any weapon that's designed for use by the military, I think we should ban. You've heard people say, you'll have to pry my gun.
This is a candidate for sheriff in North Carolina.
Okay.
There you go. He just said, yeah, well, all right. Yeah, we'll kill you. He says, you'll have to take my gun from my cold, dead hand. And he goes, okay, fine. That is a candidate for sheriff in North Carolina. You know what? I bet you he loses. I bet you he loses. They don't get it, man. They don't get why America exists.
Meine Zeit verwendet habe im Dienste meines Volkes. Gib du jetzt deine Stimme ab. Wenn ja, dass ich gearbeitet habe, darum für dich eingesetzt habe, dass ich anständig meine Zeit. Du jetzt deine Stimme ab. Hör mich ein, so wie ich für dich eingetreten bin.
Wow. All right, ladies and gentlemen. Exclusive footage here. Oh my gosh. Oh, that's brilliant. Can we roll it again? Roll it again. Roll it again. Roll it again. That deserves a roll it again. Come on now. That's too good. All right, folks. Oh my gosh. Thank you, Darren McBreen, for that absolute beauty. Okay, so you just had exclusive, InfoWars got the exclusive footage there of Adolf Hogg, David Hitler. Adolf Frog. What just happened? Anyway, I don't know. I went to some march this weekend. They called it a March for Our Lives, but I felt like I was in the middle of a Nazi propaganda rant. But then I just saw the exclusive footage, and that it was actually the case. So that's powerful stuff there. And it's funny, and it's a joke, but, like, that's the real deal. I mean, that is really what's going on. So that's just incredible stuff. I mean, that is the Nazi brown shirts. They even wear the armband. He even does the thing. I mean, you can't even write this script, man. And then you've got this video that I haven't seen or heard yet, but I'm told there's a little snippet. This is a sneak peek. CBS is following around, I guess, the students from the Marjorie Stoneman High, where the Parkland shooting, the Florida shooting happened. Apparently, they're doing some special called 39 Days. Here's a sneak peek of that with some audio that some of the audience is scratching their heads about. There's Adolf Frog.
On the day of the shooting, I got my camera and got on my bike and rode as fast as I could 3 miles from my house to the school to get as much video and get on as many interviews as I could, because I knew that this could not be another mass shooting.
This is not about us.
All we're doing is telling the truth.
This is not about us. This has never been about us.
There's the so there's David Hogg, the FBI son, with the three actors that are in the drama club.
But the people who actually have the opportunity to make the change are doing.
Get him off. I can't look at that woman. I can't look at that thing. No. Hogg is comical to look at, but that thing is like demonic. Whatever that thing is. So just get that out. So before I get too triggered, just get the demon frog. Not David Frog, but demon frog. Just get him out. Okay. Now, it's like, I don't even want to talk about this. Did you hear what he said, though? He rode his bike to school that day to record? I'm just going to leave it at that. I don't even want to go down that road. You can just, you know, you heard it, folks. You heard it there. Okay. I don't even know what to think about this right now. That is just too strange. So you've got Adolf Hogg speaking to the Nazi youth, getting them to salute to come take the guns, just like Hitler did. So yeah, protest against the police because the police are bad. Protest against Trump because Trump is bad. And then hand over your guns so that the government, which is the police and Trump, have centralized power of firearms. I mean, that's the type of brilliant logic that you just wish that you had, don't you? That is the type of intelligence and IQ that one could only imagine of comprehending. Amazing. Trump is Hitler. Let's give Hitler the guns. The police are bad and racist. Let's make sure they're the only ones that are armed. That's the type of logic that befuddles the average mind. Only the most comprehensive, intelligent mind can understand that logic. Or is liberalism a mental disorder? Now, I want to go to this clip of my boy, Van Jones, who, Van Jones says stuff on TV, I think, just to be the mouthpiece of Barack Obama. But listen to Van Jones hit something right on the head here, talking about how Trump lives in an average liberal's head 24/7, rent-free. Clip 10.
Much, much deeper problems.
One of the things we noticed, Van, was CNN had an interview with another woman who alleged an affair with Donald Trump, with, of course, Karen McDougal on Thursday. Just before
Nobody
the interview,
watched.
He announces his new national security advisor.
Van Jones
it's going
is
to
like,
be
man,
John
I'm so
Bolton
sick of this.
To replace H.R. McMaster. Do you get a sense that this is a way to distract from this fight that he is engaged in?
I don't know. It's bad either way. I mean, if he's picking Bolton because he wants to distract from the fact that his team got caught red-handed paying off a porn star, that's not that great.
Not his team. That was decades ago.
He likes Bolton's ideas. That's even worse because Bolton is a warmonger, as best I can tell, and is not afraid of getting into a nuclear exchange or doing preemptive nuclear strikes in North Korea or Iran. So either way, picking Bolton is bad, and the reasoning behind it is bad. And
I don't really know the reasoning behind it. I don't think you do.
Liberals and progressives spend so much time freaking out about every tweet, everything that Donald Trump does. Every day is Armageddon. That then when somebody comes in who might bring us Armageddon, we're out of adjectives. I think Bolton is very dangerous, and I think we've exhausted ourselves on everything else. This is a very important development in our country.
No, see, Van Jones actually makes a good point here because not only with the appointment of Bolton, which I was neutral, now I'm kind of wondering if that's not a good thing. I think time will have to tell. Certainly what Bolton did when he was a member of the Bush administration was despicable. But it's the same deal with the omnibus spending bill. They spend all this time obsessing over a porn star. See, it's not even about what Trump says or what Trump tweets or what his policy is. They literally go back decades and they find a porn star and they put her on the platform to try to bring Trump down, and they think it's going to work. And then they ignore the things that would actually work to bring Trump down, like he signs this omnibus spending bill, funds Planned Parenthood, but they don't want to complain about that because they love that. But Van Jones is right. Trump lives in these people's head rent-free 24/7. They cannot breathe. They cannot sleep. They cannot eat breakfast. They cannot go out without thinking and obsessing about Trump. They're obsessed.
They are so deluded and so bogged down with their obsession, they can't even think clearly. They're so clouded by hatred. They're so clouded by rage. They're so clouded by fake news. And it's all about Trump that they cannot even think straight. And so then you get Adolf Hogg leading the Nazi youth and then that other little creature. All right. Folks, we love the fact that you support us at InfoWarsStore.com. So because of your support and everything you've done to make InfoWars what it is today, we're bringing you big specials right now at InfoWarsStore.com. Now, if you haven't gotten the Alexa Pure Breeze air filter in your home yet, I have to ask you why. What are you waiting for? Why would you not want the air in your home to be pure and filtered? And we've got a special right now on the Alexa Pure Breeze air filter, $50 off right now. This is already a top-of-the-line air filter. I love this thing. I have one. You sneeze in the next room, and this thing kicks on. My turtle goes to the bathroom, and this thing kicks on. I'm not even kidding you. And now they're telling me this is the last day. I didn't even know this. This is the last day for this special. In fact, this thing could even sell out, because the last time we had a special like this, we did sell out of the Alexa Pure Breeze. So 4.9 star rating, $50 off the Alexa Pure Breeze air filter. This is a must-have for your home, folks. Filter your air. You don't want to breathe in all the toxins that are in the air. You know they're there. Get it while it's hot. $50 off Alexa Pure Breeze. Take advantage of that special before we sell out. News Blitz on the other side of the war room. Don't go anywhere.
Zeit verwendet habe im Dienste meines Volkes, gib du jetzt deine Stimme ab. Wenn ja, dass ich gearbeitet habe, Jahren für dich eingesetzt habe, dass ich anständig meine Zeit, du jetzt deine Stimme ab. Hör mich ein, so wie ich für dich eingetreten bin.
On the day of the shooting, I got my camera and got on my bike and rode as fast as I could 3 miles from my house to the school to get as much video and get on as many interviews as I could, because I knew.
All right. So an interesting soundbite there from David Hogg on the preview of the CBS special 39 Days. I guess they're following those students around. David Hogg says he had to ride his bike 3 miles to school that day of the shooting, which raises a lot of questions, which I choose not to address now. We'll let the audience simmer on those questions and perhaps address those in the future. But you just heard it from David Hogg. I mean, he rode his bike 3 miles to school that day during the shooting so that he could film. So I'm just trying to figure out, well, I think that the questions are obvious there. We just won't go down that road. But I'll tell you what. Let's look at some things that are a little bit more obvious. First, let's go to Kyle Kashuv, who was on CBS, looking at the right problems that led to the Florida shooting.
Thank you.
Now, you don't necessarily support the march that just happened, but tell me why you're here in Washington.
Well, look, I'm here for one very simple reason. I don't want to see this ever happen again. And when I saw the march yesterday, which really frustrated me, is that I have a different point of view, but what really concerned me was that how come I wasn't invited to speak at the march? Because
pause it
as
right
Americans,
there.
We all
pause right there. See, this is so key, and I don't know if this young man understands this. Dude, you weren't allowed to speak at the march because you don't go along with their agenda. They don't care about children. They don't care about their opinion. It's all about an agenda to take the guns. Okay? Ah, man, I'm telling you, this thing. I wish I could go further on this. I really do, but that's it. They don't want to hear from this guy. They don't want this guy to be the celebrity. They want Emma Gonzalez to be the celebrity. Two million followers on Twitter. They want David Hogg to be the celebrity. He gets all the TV interviews because they're the liberals that will go along with enslaving America by turning the guns in. Do you think African-American slaves in this country had guns? No. Why? Because they were slaves. Slaves don't have the rights to a firearm. You know what freed the slaves? When they got a gun. But the mindless liberals in high school who are willing to go along with this, the Democrats give them the platform to then create the illusion that this is how all young people feel. And that's why Kyle here doesn't get the big platform, doesn't get invited to the march. Finish the clip.
Because as Americans, we all have different point of views, and it's important to represent them all equally.
And your point of view is what? You don't agree
not
with the agenda
CNN,
that they're
CNN, not if you're a liberal, not if you're a Democrat. In terms of, they want to destroy the opposition.
Well, yeah. I mean, I talked to senators, and I looked at all the facts, and they all point in the same direction, that a ban on assault weapons will not solve this issue. It's simply...
restrictions on high-capacity magazines.
That won't solve the issue. What we've seen is that there are certain things such as enforcing the regulation that's currently in law. I mean, we've seen on so many different levels.
Background check failed. Why did the FBI fail?
The FBI failed. Sheriff Scott Israel failed. So many different multi-layered levels failed in Parkland. And it's absolutely reprehensible that I didn't see one single poster yesterday at the march that said F the NRA.
You saw plenty of those.
Sheriff Scott Israel.
So you are
so pull that down. No. So exactly. So all these marchers don't mention the FBI failing. They don't mention the background check failing. They don't mention local law enforcement failing. All had the warnings. All knew the mental counselor. All of them knew. They all had the warnings. He'd made threats before. Shouldn't have been allowed to get the gun. But they all failed. The local law enforcement doesn't even go in the building. Basically, a stand down while the shooting is happening. So there's all your issues before you even get to gun control. But they didn't mention any of that at the march yesterday. Why? Because here, clip 9, this is really what it's all about, folks.
There are so very many things, so many steps to take. Like right now, sign our petition. It takes 2 seconds, and it matters. We will take the big, and we will take the small, but we will keep fighting. When they give us that inch... that bump stock ban, we will take a mile. We are not here for breadcrumbs. We are here for real change.
Mm-hmm. So there you go. They're coming for the guns, folks. That's their agenda. Man. I mean, what do you say? There's so many different levels of propaganda here. You're not allowed to hear Kyle's opinion. He's not allowed to have an opinion. He's not invited to the march because he has a different opinion than the brainwashed liberals. And then they admit to you, yeah, we're coming for the guns. That's how we're going to stop school shootings. And then they say Trump is Hitler, and they don't even understand the history of every authoritarian regime takes the guns before they brutally oppress their people. And then you have Emma Gonzalez step up to the podium with a Cuban flag on her arm. One of the most oppressed countries in the world. Do you think they're allowed to have guns? Okay, sorry. See, I'm just the ignorance. Oh, man. How about this one? Rapper who performed at March for Our Lives was arrested last year for carrying a concealed weapon. So Vic Mansa gets invited to perform at the March for Our Lives, and he's been booked on a felony account of carrying a concealed weapon. This is so ridiculous. But let me tell you something, though. See, this is actually a real issue. See, when I was working in sports media... It's not as bad for some sports, but athletes, like, all have weapons. Like, they all have concealed carries. They all have their firearms. Why? Because they're rich, they're famous, and people know it, and so they're targets for robberies. And so I don't blame Vic Mensa, a hip-hop artist. The guy's probably famous. You know, he probably drives a nice car. He has people that might recognize him. Maybe they want to rob him. Of course he needs a concealed weapon. And then he gets arrested on that. And then he gets invited to perform at the March for Our Lives. Go figure that. I mean, it's just none of it makes any sense. Little hogs. They're going hog wild. Little hogs. Did you see all the pictures after the March for Our Lives rally? Guess what happened? The liberals trashed the streets again. The liberals trash the streets again. They tell us about global warming, man-made climate change, take care of the planet, and then they literally trash the streets after every march they make. Every single one, folks. Look at the women's march from last year. Look at all the other women's marches. Look at all the marches against Trump. Look at the March for Our Lives. They literally leave heaps and piles of garbage behind. You know what happens when garbage comes to the scene and then leaves? They leave garbage behind. And then you have a huge... island of garbage off the coast of California. All right, let me just pile drive through this news here. It's just, I'm so, I just hope that common sense and logic takes over in this country, because there is no logic or common sense to any of these liberal marches, the March for Our Lives, the Women's March. It's all fake. It's all faux intellect. It's nonsense. Now, let me just do this news blitz here. Facebook scrapped calls and text messages data for years from Android phones. So, yeah, Facebook was stealing your data, your private data, and you signed off for it. And Zuckerberg's really sorry about it, though. He's really sorry. Pet Boys suspends Facebook ads after data security breach. So now this is the news story. Musk and SpaceX off of Facebook. Pet Boys off Facebook. A lot of congressmen are leaving Facebook. I haven't had Facebook in 5 years. Facebook is trash to me. We use it to promote our media here, but other than that, I don't know if anyone here really uses Facebook too much. I don't know. I'm not on it. And here's why. The happiest teens use smartphones, digital media less than an hour a day. Folks, social media leads to depression. Period. End of story. And it really hurts me when I see young children under the age of 3 zoning out on a smartphone, zoning out on a tablet. It's just destroying their minds, man. It's just destroying their minds. New York City sees the largest increase in tuberculosis cases in 26 years. That's what liberals do. That's what Democrats do. That's what open borders do. That's why you have TB increases in California and New York, because they have open borders and sanctuary cities. Box office. Hollywood suffers worst March downturn in recent memory. Yeah, when you try to shove your politics down our throats, we quit going to your movies. It's really not that confusing. I didn't even get to this story. This is bombshell. This is bombshell. Pulse gunman's father was FBI informant. Omar Mateen kills people at Pulse nightclub. Father's an FBI agent, gets invited to a Hillary Clinton rally. I didn't even talk about that. That's bombshell, folks. Bombshell. These Democrats, man, they'll kill anyone for their agenda. You stay classy, InfoWarriors.